The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Hello, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and I'm your founder and voice of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero. And today, we've got a special broadcast and a special message that I wanted to bring exclusively on our ETH app, our podcast, and our Rumble channel. Thus, this message will not be broadcasted live on Facebook, nor will it be put on YouTube because of the sensitive content that will be in this update. This is a special update that I want to bring you. And I've entitled this, Did We Just Experience Two Wake-Up Calls from the Lord? Did we just experience two wake-up calls from the Lord? I want to give you a verse of scripture that we're going to start out here. We're going to go through a lot of scripture here. I'm going to show you two major events that have transpired over the past week or so, and one of them being just yesterday that took place. And I thought these were extraordinary events, that the timing of these events and when they took place, what happened in these events, and the correlation between these events and things that the Lord talks about in the scriptures. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And we're going to stop there because I don't want to go through all seven of these, but I want to home in on the shedding of innocent blood. Again, in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, he lists seven things that the Lord calls an abomination. One of the seven here is the shedding of innocent blood. And we see the shedding of innocent blood transpire all the way back in the very beginning with the book of Genesis, in the account of Cain and Abel. In the story of Cain and Abel, we see here that when you go down here in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, we see where Cain was angry with the Lord and he was angry with his brother. And as a result of this, Cain took an instrument, according to the book of Jasher, which is a historical account written a long time ago during the time of the Bible that was later on discovered. It was actually, this book was actually mentioned in the Old Testament. Again, it's called the book of Jasher. He puts in there, or it's written in there, that he took a plow. He took a plow, or a hoe rather, and he struck his brother in the back of the head. He killed Abel with this instrument, with this tool, used it as a weapon, killed him. And in the verse 10 of Genesis 4, the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood." And in the Hebrew text of this, when you read this from the Hebrew, it actually reads, "Your brother's bloods," and plural tense, "cries out to me from the ground." And as a result of it, it said that he was cursed from the earth. Now, according to scripture, blood has a voice. The voice is in the blood. There's the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the blood has a voice. Therefore, from a Hebraic perspective, the blood that flowed from Abel's head that went into the ground was not only his blood, but was the blood of all of his seed that would ever come forth out of his loins. Therefore, that's why the S was emphasized in the word blood, and it was bloods and not blood. So generations were crying out for vengeance. Okay, so we see that here. Then as we progress, we get into the book of Jeremiah, we get into the book of Isaiah, and the Bible mentions where the Israelites begin to partake of this Canaanite idol that was created called Molech. And this idol god had there was a hole that was carved out of its stomach. This is important to hear this. The stomach was where all the murder would take place. There was a hole that was cut out of this idol god called Molech, and it became a it actually became an oven in which there was a grill that was put into the stomach of this idol, and they would do what was called passing your children through the fire. They would actually take children, howbeit the firstborn, and they would pass them through. They would put them into these ovens where they would be killed, and the cries would be drowned out by the playing of instruments and singing to ignore the oppression and suppression, and again, the torment of the children who were being sacrificed to this idol Canaanite god, god called Molech. Now again, where did this happen? In the belly, or through the belly of this idol, where these children were murdered. Then we go to the book of Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is beginning to, he begins to rebuke the religious leaders of his day. And he says, "Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say," quote, "if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." So they were the generation of those who slew the prophets of the Old Testament and spilled their blood, or the innocent blood. Righteous blood was shed through the hands of these religious leaders. Listen to what he says, verse 32. "Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt." Now, why did he use this terminology called saying, "fill up the measure of your father's guilt"? In the Bible, there's what's called the wine cup of the wrath of God. And you can read this in the book of Revelation. It talks about when the cup of the indignation of God has become full, he pours out his indignation. He pours out his wrath, and we see his that cup being overflown, or it being poured out in this period called the Great Tribulation. And this is where all these judgments come, the bowl judgments, the vile judgments, and these the 100-pound hailstones. You see a meteorite coming, or an asteroid coming and striking a part of the ocean. You see these locusts coming up out of the ground. You see these boils coming, men being scorched with great heat. All these judgments are being poured out during this seven-year period called the Great Tribulation. Why is that happening? Because chronologically speaking, and we don't know when that time is. The Bible says the day and the hour, no man knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, but the Father only. There's going to come a time in the near future when the wine cup of the indignation of the wrath of God will become filled. What does that even mean? Through abominations, violence, defiance of God, and the list goes on. The shedding of innocent blood. These things continue to culminate and build up and become greater and greater and greater in measure. And eventually, the wine cup of the wrath of God, or the indignation of God, has to be poured out. And again, it will be poured out during what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. So this is what he's referring to when he says, "Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify." Now he's speaking present tense and future. "And some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." And we see that be played out in the book of Acts through the early apostles. And it's still happening today. "That on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth." Did you hear that? Notice it said that there would be judgment that would come because of the shedding of innocent blood on the earth. from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. So in other words, he was speaking directly to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law of his day, of his generation. And he's saying to them, because of what you have committed and your fathers, you, this generation, not speaking to us, but speaking to that generation, judgment would come. Now listen to me, not the wrath of God. Again, that's the great tribulation, but selective judgment or judgment would come on the account of, ready, the shedding of innocent blood and abominations. Now, let me read on. Now, listen to the Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. And then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? He's showing them the temple in Jerusalem. Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us then, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So then this brings the whole discourse of Matthew 24. He reiterates this by the Gospel of Luke 21 and Mark 13, and he gives them the signs of the coming of the Lord, or the signs of the end of the age. But notice, he said that the temple in Jerusalem that was adorned in that day would be destroyed. It would be brought down. There would be judgment that would come, and it would result in the temple being destroyed. Now, we see, and now I'm going to go to Matthew 27. These are all scripture contexts in which we're talking about. Jesus is standing on trial before Pontius Pilate. He has been found guilty of blasphemy by the Jews, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. Pilate is asking them, what do you want me to do? So they continue, they cry out, crucify him. Pilate understands that he is a righteous man. Number one, he can discern it from his own conversations that he had with Jesus of Nazareth. Number two, if you read the scriptures, Pontius Pilate's wife had disturbing dreams about Jesus, and that he was innocent. Therefore, Pilate, knowing he was innocent, took a basin of water in front of everybody, symbolically washed his hands of the blood of Jesus in front of everyone. And the people that saw this understood what he was doing. And according to the Bible, they cried out, verse 23, all the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw this, he could not prevail to persuade them, but rather atonement was rising. Again, he took the basin of water, washed his hands, and he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And verse 25, all the people answered and said, may his blood be upon us and our children. Friends, this took place in 30 AD, approximately 40 years later, in 70 AD, there was an invasion of the temple, and it was destroyed. And exactly what Jesus prophesied would take place. No stone was left upon another, and it was completely decimated, completely destroyed. What happened? And the people were taken in captivity. There was great bloodshed. There was great violence. And again, what happened? Judgment came to Jerusalem because the shedding of innocent blood. And this is all based, by the way, what Pilate did with washing of his hands, that's Deuteronomy 21. They understood what he was doing, but they were so bent on him being crucified and being put to death. They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And listen to me, friends. That's why Jesus stood there, looked at the religious leaders and told them that judgment was coming upon them for what they had done in a generation previously. And because these people, because of the shedding of innocent blood, God is a just God. He allowed judgment to come exactly a generation later in 70 AD. Now, then we go fast forward. We begin to see that the enemy for centuries, for thousands of years, the enemy has been threatened by the prophecy that was spoken by the Lord in the Garden of Eden, saying that the serpent would be trampled on by the seed of man, or the seed of woman, rather. And because of this, and into this prophecy of that he would be crushed by the seed of the woman. Therefore, that's why you saw Pharaoh rise up. And what did he decree? That all the male children be put to death. Why? Because there was a prophecy of a Messiah that would rise up and put an end to the reign of Pharaoh. And again, you know the story. Pharaoh gave the decree. The firstborn males were put to death. They were killed. And we know that Moses was spared, and God used Moses after 400 years of captivity, raised up Moses. Moses was the deliverer, went into Egypt. But then we go into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2, and it talks about Herod became furious when the news came to him that there was a baby born in Bethlehem, and there was the wise men and there was the prophets, that they began to seek out the scriptures, and they understood that the scriptures talked about that the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Son of David, would be born in the manner in which this baby that was born in Bethlehem was beginning to show forth signs that he was truly the Messiah. And Herod, who was threatened by him, sought out to destroy all the first male's children 2 years old and under, thus fulfilling what the Jeremiah the prophet said, a voice was heard in Ramah lamenting, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And then I'm getting ready to go somewhere. I know somebody's watching this today and you're like, what's this got to do with the two recent events? We're building all this foundation to get you to where we're going. Then in Revelation 6, 9, and 10, fast forward, when we get to the time of the tribulation, remember, this is the wrath of God being poured out. Listen what it says. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, this is John the Revelator speaking, I saw the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are the ones being slain during the tribulation. They're dying because they're probably refusing the mark of the beast. They're refusing to take and swear an allegiance to the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they cried with a loud voice saying, listen to this. These are the souls under the altar. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So before we move on, I want to recap this one thing I want to emphasize to you. When there is the shedding of innocent blood through the murdering of innocents, whether that be prophets, whether that be teachers, whether that be pastors, whether that just the innocent blood in general. And that even includes through abortion. When you are going in through the belly and you are terminating a life, shedding of innocent blood, the Bible says that there will be vengeance upon the shedding of blood. And in Proverbs 6, That is one of the seven things the Lord hates. And if you think, my friend, that there is not going to be swift repercussions on the account of that, then you, my friend, are ignorant of the scriptures. Now, so we have this, okay? Let me tell you what just happened less than 24 hours. In Mexico, the Supreme Court, as of yesterday, unanimously ruled that the penalizing of abortion is now unconstitutional. Let me say that again. Mexico Supreme Court on yesterday, on Tuesday, September 7th, unanimously ruled that penalizing abortion is unconstitutional in a decision expected, listen to this, to set the precedent for the legal status of abortion nationwide. Where was it at? Mexico. According to CNN, their headline read, quote, "Today is a historic day for the rights of all Mexican women," said Supreme Court Chief Justice Arturo Saldivar. The court ruled Tuesday against a law in the state which threatened women who undergo abortions with up to 3 years prison and a fine. It shouldn't be a burden as well by the law. Nobody gets voluntarily pregnant thinking about getting an abortion later. And Supreme Court Justice and another Supreme Court Justice, one of only three women, she was a woman, only one of three among the court's 11 justices, hours later, all ruled this. So again, what did they rule? That the penalization of abortion is unconstitutional. Again, why is it a big deal? Because it's, I quote to you, it sets the precedent for the legal status of abortion nationwide. Now, consequently, literally hours later, after that ruling of the Supreme Court in Mexico, hours later, a magnitude 7.4 earthquake, which, of course, the USGS downgraded to a 7.0, which is large, struck Mexico. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or the NOAA, and the USGS, the massive earthquake was felt throughout Mexico, listen to this, and produced what is called rare lights. And there's video of this, guys. I wish I could show this, but again, I can't do this because of copyrights. But there is video. You can search it out on YouTube. I believe on Facebook it's on there. I believe it's on TikTok, different places. You see these rare lights that are transpiring during the earthquake. As a result of this, locals were gripped with fear of the apocalypse. This was actually from a Mexican affiliate. For the again, this has not just happened in Mexico with these lights, but this also happened in Japan on March 11th, 2011, when the massive mega earthquake took place there. There was these same strange light formations that happened and transpired there. So, but don't miss what I'm telling you. All this happened within a 24-hour period. Again, a court ruling that dealt with the shedding of innocent blood in favor of that. And then, boom, this massive earthquake took place in the same location, producing strange signs in the heavens as well, while the earth was shaking beneath them. Then, I'm going to take you before this. Let's backtrack a little bit. There was another event that happened before this. Listen to this. According, and I'm going to give credit to the source here. According to William Koenig, who put all this timeline together on his website. Let me give you some scripture here. Then I'm going to give you what he reported. Zechariah 12:3, Zechariah 12:9, and Joel 3 all give you ominous warnings from God in regards to any nation that attempts to divide Jerusalem. For example, Zechariah 12:3, it says, "In that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it." Against what? Jerusalem. Zechariah 12:9, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that have come against Jerusalem." Joel chapter 3 says that all the nations that conspire to divide Jerusalem will gather together in a place called Jehoshaphat, where Armageddon will take place, and they will be judged on the account of the division of the nation of Israel. Why? Because God made a covenant all the way back to Abraham with the nation of Israel. And he said, "Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you shall be cursed." And guys, there is a long track record, and there's no way I was going to put all this together on this broadcast, or we would go over an hour on this broadcast. But listen to me, you can go search it out. It's on the internet. It doesn't take much of a search to find this. But every president that we've had in the history of America, any president and vice president or leadership or cabinet, administration, presidential administration, whether it be Clinton, whether it be Bush, whether it be Bush Senior, whether it be Barack Obama, any leader, any president who has attempted to divide the nation of Israel and try to make a Palestinian state or divide it for whatever reason, listen, there was disasters that took place, whether it be tornadoes, whether it be earthquakes, whether it be hurricanes, whether it be famine, whether it be fires, or all the above. It's there. And guess what? Listen to this. I'm going to read this timeline. Again, this was by William Koenig. The following is a summary and an update of the events that happened regarding Friday, August 27th, from weekly news reports that were delivered pertaining to the Biden and Naftali Bennett, that's the new prime minister in Israel that replaced Benjamin Netanyahu. Again, Biden and the prime minister of Israel were in a meeting at the White House on Friday the 27th. Now, here's what we have here. Listen to this timeline. Hurricane Ida. Let me scroll down here. Biden and Bennett's meeting was scheduled for Thursday the 26th at 11:30 a.m., but was rescheduled for the next day, which would be Friday the 27th of August. Consequently, why were they meeting? They were in talks to form a Palestinian state, which again would result in the division or dividing of Jerusalem or Israel. So while they're meeting on the 27th, on that Friday at 11:30 a.m., no more than 2 hours later, Hurricane Ida began to strengthen. Ida came ashore as a Category 4 hurricane with 150-mile-an-hour winds on Sunday the 29th. Again, less than 48 hours after the meeting with Joe Biden and Bennett for talks on a two-state solution. Ida came ashore on the 29th. Now listen to this. On the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina in the same location. And by the way, Hurricane Katrina formed, you go search it out, in 2005 when there was talks with a Palestinian state and under, listen, this was under Bush. He gave the okay to go in and begin to remove by force. He gave his approval, and so did Ariel Sharon. So you have this push for a Palestinian state from America, and you have Ariel Sharon, who is pulling people out of the West Bank and Israelis out of the settlement in order to push or to help support a Palestinian state. While that's happening, Hurricane Katrina forms. We all know the rest. It comes on shore. It is labeled to be one of the most disastrous disasters, hurricanes that ever happened on U.S. shore, resulting in countless deaths, levees breaking, bodies that were buried were up. There was caskets floating through the streets of New Orleans. So again, there is this correlation, this connection. And we see this man did his homework, and I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but he breaks this down from all these sources where there is even the Jerusalem Post. Let me read this, guys. The Jerusalem Post was even warning of Biden dividing Jerusalem. Because remember, under the Trump administration, Trump actually was in support of the nation of Israel. He's the first, he made his history by becoming the first U.S. president that actually was in support of Israel. He, in fact, he formed the embassy in Jerusalem. He helped, he was trying to support Israel as being an independent nation. He was in favor of them. But now we have a new sheriff in town, if you would. We have a new president of the United States who has a different angle, a different thought process, and a different motive. According to the Jerusalem Post, an opinion piece was written on the 29th of August. Hello, the same day that Ida struck as a Category 4 on the 16th anniversary of Katrina. Here's the opinion piece. Quote, we must not let Biden divide Jerusalem. Wow. This was written, again, while Hurricane Ida was coming. And by the way, there is hundreds of thousands of people in New Orleans that are still without power, and they're having a very difficult time of getting power back on because they're not able to get the transformers to be used to get the power back on because we have such a shortage of everything, including transformers. Let me give you this piece from the Jerusalem Post. Amid the coronavirus resurgence and mounting tensions with Hamas in Gaza, an important and highly resonant issue has been largely overlooked of late, and that is the future of Jerusalem and Israel's undivided capital. Demonstrating remarkable diplomatic efforts, the Biden administration has been pushing both publicly and privately to open a U.S. consulate in Jerusalem aimed at serving the Palestinians. Such a move, if allowed to take place, would not only be a slap in the face to Israel, but it would serve to encourage greater extremism by stoking misguided Palestinian hopes of attaining a foothold in the city of Jerusalem. Again, this is not my opinion. This was written by the Jerusalem Post on the 29th of August. It goes on to say that on May 25th, when U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Ramallah, he informed Palestinian Chairman Mahmoud Abbas of the decision to reopen an American consulate in Jerusalem that would handle Palestinian matters. The former mayor of Jerusalem said recently, quote, the act of establishing a Palestinian consulate in Jerusalem means recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine. The administration's consent on this matter is disastrous. I intend to aggressively fight this dangerous decision. Again, this happened on August 31st. This is while Ida was still blowing up through. By the way, by this time, it's up to the north and the northeast that brought historic flooding to the north and northeast. Excuse me, where Washington is, where New York is, where Massachusetts is, where all these locations are. And it brought records, it brought tornadoes, it brought historical flooding. While that's happening, the Times of Israel posted an article, quote, that said, the U.S. State Department reiterates commitment to two-state solution. According to the article, asked for comment on Prime Minister Bennett's recent remarks against the establishment of a Palestinian state, a U.S. State Department official tells the Times of Israel, quote, listen to this, we believe that a negotiated two-state solution is the only viable path to achieving a lasting resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The official adds, quote, we have a frank and ongoing discussion with the Israeli government on the importance of a pragmatic approach on Palestinian issues and working towards that goal in tangible ways. Guys, I could go on and on and on about the U.S. efforts working with a new prime minister in Israel, who, by the way, many say is very liberal. And I think that's very interesting that in the same time frame, you had a president in the United States for the first time in history who was very pro-Israel, who was removed from office of Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, who is very pro-Israel, who was also removed. So again, you have two heads of authority, one in the U.S., one in Israel, both removed and both replaced by liberal candidates who are in favor of a two-state solution or the dividing of the nation of Israel. And I want to remind you again, this is extremely dangerous based upon the words of Zechariah and the prophet Joel of judgment on the account of the division of Israel. So I want to leave you with this thought before we sign off today. Number one, we have the shedding of innocent blood that has been happening since the signing of legislation of Roe versus Wade. We surpassed the 40-year or a generation mark of that. And now we're thrusting headlong. Nothing's changing. It's going forward. It's moving and advancing. And there's a big battle of this all the way up into Texas, the Supreme Court, and so on and so forth. You have, again, Mexico is now involved. I just read to you what happened there. And this major shaking of this earthquake happened in the same 24-hour period. Then you have leaders of nations conspiring to divide the nation of Jerusalem, which is in defiance of a covenant that God made with the nation of Israel that goes all the way back to Abraham. And we see the warning of Joel and Zechariah. And I'm here to tell you, friends, we can pray and we can intercede, but based on prophecy and based on the prophets of the Old Testament and based on what John the Revelator saw, we know eventually the tribulation is coming. It may be delayed, but it is coming. And according to what Joel said and what Zechariah said, there is coming a war called the War of Armageddon. And the nations who were directly involved, I said nations, plural tense, the nations that are eventually down the road involved in the division of Israel will enter into judgment on the account of it. And the wrath of God will be poured out upon the earth because of the shedding of innocent blood. Now you say, where does that leave us, Brother Ricky? Where's the hope for us? Here's the hope. Jesus said in Luke 21, 28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. My friends, I believe our redemption is drawing near. I believe that God knows who are His. I believe that God has a covenant with His remnant. I believe that God knows who are His children, who has a covenant with Him through being born again. He knows who the intercessors are. He knows who those who are weeping with Him are. He knows who those who are travailing in prayer and standing in the gap. He knows who they are. And I'm telling you, no wonder Jesus said in the book of Luke 21 and Matthew 24, He said, pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's where we are, and that's where we need to be, my friends. It's not that we can pray away these things, but it's we pray to be prepared for these things. We need to be prayed. We need to be prayed up. We need to be ready to stand strong. And we need to be prepared to endure all these things. That's what the Bible talks about. So how do we do this? We prepare ourselves and we prepare our households just like Noah did. The Bible says that knowing the fear of the Lord, knowing what the Lord had told him that was coming, the Bible says he prepared accordingly. He built an ark for the saving of his family and the saving of his household. No, we're not talking about going out building a boat because God's going to flood the earth again that's not going to happen. That is the illustration or the analogy is we prepare ourselves by being prepared spiritually. Now, there's nothing wrong with being prepared physically, doing what we need to do, prepare accordingly, but we got to prepare by getting our hearts right with Him because we don't know the day nor the hour, but we know, my friends, according to the scripture, the times and seasons in which we're in, and we are here, my friends. We see all these things coming to pass. So I want to pray with you real quick, and then when we end this prayer, I want you to stick around so we can give you an opportunity to be able to find us, keep up with us, subscribe to us, and all that stuff at the end of this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all of our partners. I thank you for those who have come on to this broadcast, wherever they're watching us, either through the app or through Rumble, whatever the case may be. We pray for them. We pray, Lord, that you would give them mercy. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray that you would prepare them accordingly. And Lord, if they're not right with you, their household is not right, I pray that they would repent right where they're at, repent of their sins, turn from their sins and wicked ways, and that they would come back to you. They would turn to you. If they don't have a relationship with you, I pray that they would ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into their heart and live in them and through them, through the Holy Spirit, and that you would wash them through the blood of Jesus, and that their name would be engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life. If there's anyone watching today and you are backslid, you're away from God, we call you back into the fold today, into a relationship and back into your covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I pray that the Lord strengthen you, that He would help you, and that He would give you the encouragement and the strength to endure all these things that are coming upon, come on, this generation and coming upon us in this hour, so that in the end, come on, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world, and then the end shall come. And guys, we want to be here as long as the Lord permits us to continue to preach this gospel, to reach as many people as we can, get as many people as we can into the ark, because the door is about to supernaturally be shut before the storm begins to come. Come on, amen and amen. So remember, don't forget to share this. If you're watching by Rumble, please share this. Subscribe to our channel. Invite your friends, whatever it is. Invite them to download our app and do all that as well. So how do we do this? Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you've not yet subscribed to us, please do that. If you've not yet downloaded our free app, it's absolutely free and it's available on Apple and it's available on Android. You can go to the Play Store where, depending on your device, you can download that app. Here's how you do it. You type in End Time Headlines, you download the app, get into your hands, push yes to push notifications. Then you're going to be able to watch our messages. You're going to be able to hear our messages. You're going to be able to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective as well. So please don't forget to do that. If you listen, if you're watching this, we are on all kinds of platforms. We're on, as far as video streams, we're on Rumble. We're on YouTube. We may be on Vimeo soon. Vimeo, however you pronounce it. We're looking to expand and get on there as well. We may be uploading straight from our platform without the reliance of any of these, because we don't want to rely on all these channels, because if they start censoring and banning and taking down, we don't want to worry about that. We want to be able to get our messages across to all of our partners and our viewers and supporters of our ministry and get the word out. So again, as far as social media platforms, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, Gab, MeWe, we're on Getter, G-E-T-T-R. That's the social media platform that Trump created. We're on all these platforms, so you can find us. We're all over the place. Telegram. Don't forget to go follow us on whatever platform you're on, whatever one you like, or you can follow us on all of them. But be sure to keep up with this, keep up with our ministry. And it's last but not least, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has been a source of blessing to you, encouragement, information, and revelation on a weekly basis, we want to encourage you to partner with us, and you could do that on a monthly basis, or you can give a one-time gift, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart. Again, we don't push people. We don't pull people out of the church and wherever they're serving at. Again, if you don't have a home church, we welcome you. We would love to be a great source of blessing to you, help you, encourage you, disciple you, and whatever we can to help your Christian walk. But maybe you're part of a home church, but our ministry is blessing. You want to sow an offering, or you want to become a monthly partner. Again, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or on the main website, or you can give by check or money order. And you can do that by simply making that check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, the zip code, or that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, that's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And of course, all that information will come here visually up on your screen so you can see that. So at this time, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We're going to take off tomorrow. We'll be back on here on Friday to close out our week of podcasts. And at that time, we are also going to thank many of our partners by mail and our that support our ministry through the P.O. Box, through mail, letters and so on and so forth, because we don't get to thank you either through Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Those are individuals that may not be on these platforms, and we just want to take the time to acknowledge our partners and supporters of our ministry and personally thank you for what you're doing on a monthly basis or your support to our ministry. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.